Hey everybody, welcome back. It is the Razzball Fantasy Baseball Podcast. I am Beaton, joined by the Fantasy Master Lothario himself, who has a Mickey Mouse filter on, I guess, today. So how's it going over there, Gray?
Wait, what?
Now you're back to normal voice. You were speaking in like a Mickey Mouse filter.
Oh, I thought you were messing with my video and putting like Mickey Mouse ears on me. Oh,
no, I can do that next time.
Oh yeah. Though. Oh, you want me to? Yeah. Hey, B Don, what's going on? Hey, B Don, what's going on? Just chilling, man. Hey, it's good to talk to you though, B Don. I'm hoping you're having a nice Memorial Day weekend.
I am. I had my sister and her husband in town, and so we went all over Atlanta and. Yeah, it was a good time.
Oh, that's nice. That's good. That's good to hear.
How are things in the desert, man?
Terrific. Okay. Going good. Anyway.
So there's some baseball news. There's actually not baseball news. You know, I was putting together the show outline it looks a little light, and that's because I feel like there wasn't a whole lot that was like groundbreaking this week that we needed to go over. But I wanted to start by, we talked about this kind of early in the season, but like the stats up to this point and how it might like relate to previous seasons a little bit, Gray.
Okay.
All right. So looking at home runs. So we're at 1600 total games. That was as of this, before the game started today. 1,853 home runs, 1,130 stolen bases. So last year we had 1,615 home runs. That's 238 less home runs.
Juice ball!
So the ball's changed on that front. And the stolen base rules have equated to 337 more stolen bases in the first, we're almost a third. Maybe just short of a third of the way through the season here.
Last year it was like the Aaron Judge balls were bouncy and the Texas Rangers at home balls were bouncy because it was a commemorative ball for their 50th anniversary. So this year the Rangers are playing with the same ball that they've white out. They did a little whiteout over the commemorative stamp. And everyone in the league has gotten the Aaron Judge ball, except for Jose Abreu, obviously. Jose Abreu finally homered. I thought that would be where we would lead with this. I feel like just without even hearing those stats, to me, like just watching the games and doing the roundups, it feels like the ball is bouncy. Yeah. Absolutely. It feels like a bouncy ball. And steals, I mean, I feel like the league, it's kind of flat for steals across every team, except the Rays have 5,000 more steals than everyone else. So the Rays have 12 players going for 2020 this year. They're like, hey, what's this Razzball player rater thing? How about we all try and get in the top 20 for that? it was part of the Tampa Bay Rays have a contract stipulation across their entire team. Get into the Razzball player rater top 20 and you get an extra $50.
You get enough to pay for a membership at Razzball.com.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we are the proud sponsors of the Tampa Bay Rays. I mean, definitely feels like the ball feels like it's definitely bouncy, man. You know, like you look around the league at, I mean, I don't even know like specific players, but it just feels like the guys who are supposed to be hitting homers, like the Pete Alonso's, Aaron Judge's of the world, they're all hitting homers, and the guys who you wouldn't expect hitting homers are still hitting a few, like the Michael Massey's of the world. Like, he hit his fourth homer today. So, yeah, I mean, I think just about everywhere you look, it feels like homers are up a little bit. Like I believe the data. I'm a data guy, right? data. I think, and the steals, I mean, obviously pitch clock, limited pickoffs, obviously, the steals were going to be up. I don't think anyone's really surprised about the steals being up. I think the home runs, it was just going to be contingent on whether or not the ball was going to be bouncy. And it probably doesn't hurt with the pitch clock, because I think, what we're seeing is pitchers are just like, I got to throw the ball, so here you go. do whatever you want with it, because I don't have time to think about this anymore. So, yeah, I mean, in the beginning of the preseason, I actually thought the pitch clock might help the pitchers, because the hitters might not have a chance to get, like, comfortable in the batter's box and be ready for the pitch. But I think it's probably clearly showing the opposite effect. I think it's actually helping the hitter. So, it is what it is. It's probably not surprising, because, like, if you think about it, the hitters are in the dugout having, 2 to 3 innings at times to prepare for the pitcher, like looking at, film, or talking to the, talking to guys on the bench who have faced them, where the pitcher has to just keep going and going and going. And we're seeing, guys are tiring out. And I didn't predict that, but it also, in hindsight, it doesn't feel completely like weird that's what's happening. It feels like that tracks following, it follows pretty naturally, like logically. So yeah, I don't know. What's your thoughts, B-Dunk?
Yeah, so the ball is definitely, I think we're back to the 2021 ball. The home run numbers are similar, 1853 right now to 1811 over the same total games. So I think that's kind of the ball we're using. I think the change in shift has also been part of the, the amount of offense that we've gotten as a whole. So you see the average is up across from what it was in 2021. It's almost similar to what was happening in 2019 when we had the, the ultra bouncy balls that we were using tennis balls out there for baseballs.
Yeah, I'm seeing that. I just looked at the 2019 homer. So we're not quite at the ridiculous bouncy ball of 2019, where it was even 300 more homers in 2019 than we're having in 2023 as of right now. But, yeah, I mean, the more homers, and the combine that with the extra steals, offense feels like, I mean, there's offense.
Yeah, and on the pitching side, like, the numbers actually look very, like, scary similar to 2019. 4.31 ERA, 1.32 WHIP, and right now in 2019 through the same number of games, or close to the same number of games, 4.36, 1.32. So same WHIP, almost the same ERA. 2.44 batting average against in 2019, 2.45 batting average against. I think the combination of the ball and all the shift and the stealing is all kind of adding up to the pitchers looking like they did in 2019, which doesn't necessarily change the fact that you can wait on pitching, but there may be some pitchers that kind of skyrocket through the player rater because they are that much better than some of the people who are starting right now as the numbers have come up.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, I'm sure I'm not the only person, but I wish there was some way to, control for some of this stuff, because we're going to get to the end of the year and it's going to be like, was it the pitch clock that did that? Was it the limited pickoffs? Was it the ball being different? Like, we're not going to have any idea, really, like, what was the difference, between like last year and this year. There's obviously, because there's so many differences. There's like, so many different things that potentially could be factoring in to the pitching, especially. I think it's the pitch clock, but I mean, it may not be. It may be like the end of the shift could have something to do with it. It's hard to say. I think the end of the shift feels like the last thing that people go to for, you know, potential causes. And, you know, I don't know if that's right or wrong, but that feels like the last thing that people, like, mention. Like, it's like, oh, the pitch clock or, you know, the limited pickoffs or the bouncy ball. But no one's ever like, you know, fewer people, I feel like, go to the shift ending. So, but that definitely must have something to do with things, you know. But I don't know how much because so many things change. Like I said, the one good thing is, going into next year, everything's going to be the same from this year. So we should see some continuity besides, you know, what the ball is like. Like, the ball can change every year. We don't know what we're ever going to get with the ball. But with the shift and the pitch clock and the limited pickoffs, like, all that's going to carry over. So we should be more or less like in line with this year come next year. But right now we're totally on uneven ground. Like, there's no way to tell like what we're getting other than maybe a continuation of what we saw in the first quarter or third of the season, where whatever point we're up to right now. I think, what are we up to, the third of the season?
Yeah, somewhere in between a quarter and a third, somewhere in that range.
Exactly. Okay, so yeah, it's like, so it's probably like, you know, we're probably going to see this for the next, you know, two-thirds or whatever of the season. You would guess, like, you wouldn't think, but you never know, like, Rob Manfred could be like, yeah, let's give him the 2019 ball for a little while after the All-Star break. Let's juice the numbers a little bit. I'm joking, kind of, but you really never know. Like, last year, the Rangers ball and the Judge ball, they weren't introduced until later in the season. Like, they didn't start the year. I believe the Rangers one started in May, and the Judge one, obviously, I mean, that probably didn't start until, like, August. So, yeah, I mean, you never know what's going to happen with the balls, man. You never know. But as of right now, it feels like, I mean, it's like if you're falling behind. So bringing this back to, fantasy, if you're falling behind in steals, what you doing, bro? get it together, man, because you're about to get, like, swept under the carpet if you don't start getting steals on your team real soon. Someone actually mentioned in the comments, I believe, today was that, they were looking to make a trade for Jose Ramirez because they were falling behind in steals. And I was like, well, you know, the trade, I think, was like, I don't even remember. I think it was like Freeman for Ramirez or something. It was fair. I mean, whatever the trade was, it was fair. But I said to the person, I was like, yeah, but if you need steals, you should probably go for a guy who's really going to steal a ton of bases if you really need steals. Like, you know, like the Estuary Ruizes of the world, like, that's where you should be focused if you're, like, falling behind in steals. But anyway, you know, long story short is, if you're falling behind in steals, you might want to figure that out sooner versus later. And probably in power, too. You probably should. If you're falling behind in power, I don't know. The pitching, on the other hand, this might be foolish. This might be a Pollyanna thing of me to be saying, but this might be me looking at my pitching as half full, but I really want to believe that everyone is going to fall back in pitching. So everyone will be around 4.5 in ERA. Right? So I'm hoping everyone comes to me in pitching. That's what I'm hoping.
Just enough injuries pile up for everybody.
I might be being a tad optimistic with my pitching staffs, but I'm hoping that some of the people who have, like, the 1.75 Sonny Grays of the world, I hope they end up with, like, Sonny Gray Sun. and the regression fairies come along and they ruin their ratios because I'm hurting so bad in pitching in some leagues. In other leagues, I mean, I know, like, you and I we're in the same RCL, and I think I have like a 2.9 ERA in that league. Like, I was saying to Ralph, Jeff. I was saying to Jeff, former podcast host, because he's in an RCL. I don't know which RCL he's in, actually, but he was saying that his pitching was so good, and I was like, my pitching is so good, I purposely dropped Bryce Elder because I was like, I just don't have room. I didn't have room in my staff. Like, I had so much good pitching that I was like, even though it felt dumb, I was like, I just can't carry Elder anymore. Like, I had, you know, maybe that's a little bit ageist. No. Anyway, yeah, I'm hoping, though, that everyone's pitching sort of crumbles and finds me around, you know. In those leagues where I have, like, a 4.5 ERA, I hope everyone else has terrible, like, second half of the season. and their pitching just, like, hurts so bad that it ends up being like, oh, yeah, see? There you go. Joe Ryan's got a 5 ERA right now. Great.
Well, I mean, I guess that would work out for me because in that RCL, my WHIP is, I think I'm second to last. I think I'm mid pack in the ERA, but I am leading in wins somehow magically with those very terrible ERA WHIP numbers. You know, we'll see how that one plays out. I think I was sixth last week in the standings starting the week, and now I'm 10th. So there's still some variation going on that seems like a little ridiculous for this, you know, the point we are in the season, but at least that shows there's still time to, you know, move up or down standings. Let's talk about
a friend of mine's father was an elderly father who's probably in his mid-80s, and he would always say that, like, he just wanted to keep his torso in order. He couldn't worry about his arms or his legs. He was just like, I just want to hold my torso in place. So I feel like that's how, in some of my leagues where I'm hurting an ERA, I just, like, my 4.5 ERA, I just want to hold 4.5 and hope everyone comes to me. just tumble, please. Like, just come to me because I cannot gain. I can't get better. At this point, my pitching's so bad in some leagues, it's not getting any better. But, like, Marcus Stroman, it's got, like, what, a 1.8 ERA? Have him, like, get blown up, give up, like, 10 runs in, like, one inning. Just come to me, man.
Have him get Lance Lynn or Alec Manoa a couple times.
I have Lance Lynn and Alec Manoa. If you could somehow put together a pitching staff where, like, the worst guys for the pitch clock. I was like, you know what? Lance Lynn and Alec Manoa, how bad could they be? They could be that bad and good. So, I don't know.
Yeah, anyway. I did not factor in the fatigue factor of the pitch clock. Like, I thought pitching would get worse. You know, I thought the numbers would get worse overall with the shift as well. And stolen base. Like, it seemed like everything was going against pitchers to some extent. I didn't see the fatigue part coming in with Lance Lynn and Manoa. Just hopefully they can figure it out and straighten it around. Because, you know, if they come around, Gray, we have a shot. Like, then our ERA could be better than 4.5.
Yeah, maybe I can get to, like, a 4.4 ERA. I feel like I get, like, you know, I move up, like, I have, like, a couple days where, like, the pitching's going okay, and then, like, someone like Scott Barlow will give up, like, 6 earned runs. I'll be like, oh, forget it, man. I thought it was like a good week last week, and then it was like Gavin Stone and Grace Rodriguez. Like, oh my God. And I streamed Josh Fleming. I was like, oh man, holy crap. Okay, anyway, let's go.
All right, moving on. You know, sometimes you need a difference maker to kind of bolster the team and really get back in it. There's rumors of one of those potential difference makers potentially coming up, Gray. That's Ellie De La Cruz. He put up some Instagram photos of him in Reds uniform, and now everybody just assumes he's coming up in 32 games in AAA, over 157 plate appearances. He had 10 home runs, 9 stolen bases. He's hitting .304, .395, .644. He did have 6 caught stealing, but, you know, it's the minors. You know, it's whatever. He has 90th percentile right now in the minors for maximum exit velocity, hard hit rate, average exit velocity, barrel rate, and sweet spot rate. He is absolutely destroying the baseball right now after a little bit of a slow start. This is kind of like an O'Neill Cruz type of player without trying to do just like last name for last name here, but like high power, speed, may have some contact issues.
Yeah, no, definitely. And also, this isn't related to O'Neill Cruz, but Ellie De La Cruz is also going up to Cincy, which is going to be a great park. So even guys who aren't good going to Cincy and are good, you know? So the fact that if he gets promoted, which I've been hearing that too, for a while I've been on the, the Ellie De La Cruz isn't getting promoted. I've been the only one on that ship. I've been not only steering that ship with Spencer, but I've been literally navigating. I've been
pulling the air horn,
buckets, and getting water out of like the back area. As you can tell, I'm quite the sailor. That I know all these terms. Everyone's wrong sometimes. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe De La Cruz does get called up. I've been hearing the same stuff as you. I texted. That was actually how the conversation started. Hearing from Jeff about his RCL, I texted him to see, because he works for Baseball America, and so I texted him to see if the De La Cruz rumors were accurate. And he says he was the one. I should blame him. He was the one who was telling me that he didn't think De La Cruz was coming up that soon. But now he is saying it looks like De La Cruz could be coming up. So, I'm just going off of what the information I'm hearing from other people. If someone tells me De La Cruz isn't getting called up, then I'm telling everyone that. And if people are saying he is coming up, then, I'll relay that information, because I don't have any firsthand information. I'm just going off of what everyone else is saying. So, as you said, he looks incredible. I mean, he looks like a superstar. Like as soon as he steps on the field, maybe the contact issues, rear their head when he gets up to the majors, and his average bottoms out a little bit. He becomes like a 220, 230 hitter, at least at first. He's so young. He's 21 years old. So I think at some point he is going to figure out the contact issues. I was saying this. I don't know if you saw it, but in the Razzball group, in the Razzball writers group DM, I was saying no one ever thinks people can get better for strikeouts, but it happens all the time. And Ellie De La Cruz could totally get better for strikeouts. It doesn't usually happen the first season though. I think Ellie De La Cruz probably is going to this year he's going to have contact issues. He could fix that though. He can get better, maybe next year or the year after when it comes to contact. But the balls he does hit, obviously, he's so talented. You can see it. Immediately you watch any clips of him and you're like, yeah, this guy is going to be really good. It's so obvious. The other side issue with him coming up is, where does he play? Right now, they have I guess Kevin Newman can obviously be gone. Be gone. And Seinfeld would say, be gone, Newman. Newman can go for sure. But I was reading, I saw a couple people speculate that Jonathan India could potentially lose playing time. That would kind of stink for some people. I did not go back in on India this year because I had enough last year. I don't have India anywhere, so it wouldn't bother me if India goes to the bench, but I'm sure that could hurt some people who have him, at least in deeper leagues. In shallower leagues, I don't know, India's probably pretty replaceable in shallower leagues. Ellie De La Cruz, by the time people listen to this, he could be up. I on a A separate note, you mentioned that it was like his Instagram story. So like, if a guy puts up an Instagram story of him in red uniform and saying, you know, it said congratulations on it, and the Reds don't really have a plan to promote him in the short term, doesn't that sort of piss people off? Wouldn't that kind of get like some of the Reds front office a little mad if like their top prospect was like, here I come, and the Reds are like, no one said you're coming up. What? But you know, pressing the issue on De La Cruz is, you know, good for him. If no one told him he was getting promoted and he just decided to put up an IG story saying, here I come. It's pretty good. But yeah, I mean, he is worth grabbing in every league. I mean, absolutely, for sure. All right, B-Don, you go ahead.
Yeah, no, I mean, I was just going to mention kind of the position and where he was going to play. As you mentioned, there's been talk of India potentially getting into some kind of split. He could go to DH at times. And India's a weird one where, like, at least this season, he's been a reverse split guy. He's hitting 306 versus righties, 285 versus lefties. So maybe him and Newman do some kind of righty-lefty, both righty-hitter split kind of thing, because Newman's hitting 326 versus lefties. And for what it's worth, Newman's hitting 333 this month with absolutely no power. But that's, like, he's been doing Kevin, like, good version of Kevin Newman, at least. I think Senzel could slide into right field. Fairchild goes to the bench, or, you know, they figure out somebody to play center. Tyler Stevenson stays in center. Senzel goes to right field. And then maybe Cruz just slides into third base and everybody else stays where they are for the most part. But we'll see how this shakes out in regards to playing time. But there's a potential that there's some kind of, you know, three-way split time or even four-way split time situation here with Cruz, India, Newman, Senzel, like all of them could end up splitting some time here.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think what they're showing, at least with Matt McClain, is that if they're calling up Cruz and McClain, other than like a rest day, like occasionally, like, you know, just having the day off just to like rest, I think they're going to play De La Cruz and McClain, because otherwise, why call them up? Like, you're like, at least that's what the Reds seem to be showing with McClain, is like, if we're calling them up, we're going to play them. So I don't think there's going to be there's no worry for me, at least, for like a platoon of any sort with De La Cruz or McClain. I do worry, like you said, where, you know, there's a lot of moving parts. India, Senzel, Newman, like you mentioned them all. But yeah, there's concern there for India, because like he's going on about 18 months of not looking great. So I could see them potentially, you know, tuning him in a way.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair to India, he's not, I mean, he's hitting like 290 with 5 home runs and 8 stolen bases. He's been fairly useful for our game and for, you know, the Major League Baseball real life game as well. So, I mean, I don't think he's been disappointing to any extent, other than the fact that he's hitting, you know, like 250 versus lefties, which you feel like a righty should always do a little bit better than that. But other than that, I mean, he's doing Jonathan India things. I mean, if he had been 295-8 last year at this point, we would have been a whole lot happier than we were with what he was doing.
Yeah, and I think if we're going to, like, McClain and De La Cruz are second and short, absolutely. Then you have first, Steer, whatever happened with Votto. Votto became a TikTok influencer, I think. I don't know what happened with Votto. But they also have CES and Steer at first, potentially CES at least, but Steer for sure, and he's been hitting well. Senzel is healthy. So India is DH or nothing. There's nothing really else he can do other than DH. So he has to stay at DH. So that means DH is then occupied by India and only India, or they have like five guys and burgers. No, they have like five guys who could potentially DH too. So it's like it becomes crowded where you want to get people at bat. So, yeah, I mean, I agree. Like India's, I mean, they're hitting him third. Like he doesn't feel like a guy who's going to get platooned. By the way, this is just me, you know, seeing India. Someone was mentioning India might get platooned. I think it was The Athletic. So, I mean, you know, take that for what it's worth. I'm not saying India's getting platooned. I'm just saying the Athletic was mentioning India could be platooned. I mean, you know, take that as far as you want. I'm not saying The Athletic is totally, you know, not to be believed. But they, you know, they have writers who are in the locker room and they hear things, you know. So, you know, for what it's worth, you would think India would be fine. But if someone, if The Athletic's saying India could be platooned, someone must have mentioned it, or they just fabricated that out of thin air, which is also possible, I guess. I don't know. You know, it's hard to say. But I agree with you. India shouldn't be platooned. So that means McLean, De La Cruz, and India are in the lineup as, like, the top three all the time. Or De La Cruz hits lower in the lineup, you know, potentially. But, see, this is why – also, they have Will Myers, who's eventually going to come back. See, this is why I originally was saying I don't know where De La Cruz – I don't know why they would call him up because he doesn't have a place to play and he's only 21. But, you know, like we're saying, I mean – Instagram stories. I don't know. I guess he's getting called up. I don't know, man. I'm still not convinced he's getting called up, but you know, I don't know. Yeah, probably.
I feel like he's going third base. Like I feel like that's the spot where he fits in. India's never played anywhere else.
We become an Abbott and Costello deal. Yeah, okay. So he's third base. So that means Senzel goes to the outfield. And then, you know, I guess Senzel could get platooned with Friedel or Fraile. Yeah, I mean, maybe. Yeah, you might be right. And also Fairchild can go to the bench, too. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, Fairchild can go to the bench. That's
right, I mean, There's a lot of moving parts. That's all. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see how that all shakes out. But there's people who can move around. I agree that wherever De La Cruz like settles, like that's where he's gonna be. I don't think they mess with him and move him around. Maybe occasionally they might stick him at like second base. But I feel like with two second basemen already on the roster who don't really play third base. Like they've been using him at third base down in the minors. I feel like they were just getting him ready to, you know, to take over that position. But let's stop, you know, mind gaming ourselves through this, and let's talk about something else. Brandon Fatt was sent down. He had 23 innings pitched. He was throwing an 8.37 ERA, 1.65 WHIP, sub 20% K rate. 7.5% walk rate. Zach Davies is coming back up, and Dre Jameson is coming back up, but it sounds like for now he's going to the bullpen. Are you interested in Davies at all? Dre Jameson, do you think he eventually gets his spot back in the rotation?
I don't know. I think for right now, Jameson is probably better off being in the bullpen as like a long man, maybe. Like maybe they can, you know, if they use him properly, maybe he can have some success in the bullpen. But, I mean, he wasn't really that good in the minors when he got sent down. Like, he was, you know, kind of, like, fair to middling. So, I don't mind Jameson, like, in an NL only for, like, you know, maybe stashing him. Or if you want to, like, throw him in your lineup because you need an extra pitcher and he's going to get some innings in middle relief. I mean, that's fine, but I don't expect anything from Jameson right now. And Davies isn't very good.
No, so, yeah. He's not. I guess he's under contract, so that's why he's still pitching for them. But I mean, he's not very good. Do you think Brandon Fatt is worth hanging on to in, let's say, a deeper 15 team league? In NL only, obviously, you're probably hanging on, but
yeah. NL only you going on. No, I dropped him in 115 team league. It's just, I don't know. I mean, it depends on your team situation, but I think he's probably droppable in 15 team leagues.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. I think they're going to let him figure things out in the minors before bringing him back up. They have, you know, plenty of arms that can go into the rotation, and they've got a couple of older guys who are just innings eaters for them for the moment. So we'll see how that shakes out, but I don't think it's like he goes down for two starts and comes back up barring, you know, an injury happening and them needing him. And in which case, Dre Jameson may be the call for at least a short term. We touched on it a little bit last week, but Royce Lewis is now officially off the IL. 8 games in AAA, he had 4 home runs, 2 stolen bases, he was hitting .333, .371, .727, and he homered today already, Gray. If he's not already owned, he has to be picked up in every league, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think he was my lead buy on Friday in my waiver wire column. And, yeah, I mean, at that point, he was under 50% rostered in most leagues. So, yeah, I mean, I think he's out there in a lot of leagues. So, I would definitely grab him. I think he's probably going to be good as long as he's healthy. That's been like the real problem with him. Like as far as his career's gone, it's just been like basically he's good as long as he's healthy. Like he's a middle infield Byron Buxton at this point. So yeah, I like Royce Lewis a lot. I think he's got good power, good speed. I don't know. Actually, the speed probably is going to be good. I mean, if I were the Twins, I probably wouldn't run him that much just to keep his knees intact. But, yeah, I mean, he was running in the minors, so I guess that's not a concern for them. But, yeah, definitely. I mean, I think he's, like, even a 10-team shallow mixed league, Royce Lewis is someone I would look at. Like, every single league I could see picking him up in.
And so, I mean, I think De La Cruz and Royce Lewis are both must-adds across the board. If people are looking at Fab and hasn't run for them yet, what are you willing to spend on guys like De La Cruz and Lewis? And would you spend, like, would you double up? Would you potentially spend, like, a quarter on each of them?
I would say probably, I mean, I would think they're going to go for at least, like, out of 1,000, I would say they're going to go for about 300-ish. I would say probably, like, 320. I know I grabbed, Bobby Miller went in one of my leagues for 320. I grabbed, Matt McClain last week for like 370. That was an NL only league though. So that's a little bit deeper, but I mean, even in a 15 team league, I think Matt McClain was going for like 150 to 175, maybe 200. I would say Royce Lewis is probably a hair below Ellie De La Cruz. I would say Royce Lewis probably 220 and De La Cruz 320. And then if it's $100, it's like $25 for Lewis and $32 for De La Cruz. It's hard to say though because that's like just a guideline. Like so many leagues, you get into leagues where like someone really needs a middle infielder or a shortstop. They may go to 400 or 500 for one of these guys. And if your whole league is like playing tight to the vest, maybe one of them goes for 170, 150. But they're definitely going to go for a lot. I mean, I can't imagine they're not like. I would say in every league, they're going to be picked up. And the deeper the league, the more the Fab, obviously.
Yeah, there's just nothing else to spend your money on in some. And, you know, whether you have free pickups or not, whether it's daily, those kind of things all matter here. But, yeah, the good amount is going to be spent. I think, you know, like you said, it's probably around a quarter for Royce Lewis and probably 30% or more on Ellie De La Cruz, and if you need him or just need that kind of game changer for the offensive end, then you might have to spend up. You might have to drop whatever you have left. You know, it depends on what you have fab wise as well.
Totally. And it depends on like someone, if someone has a lot of fab left and they really need them. Like I mentioned, Bobby Miller went for 320 in one of my leagues. I think that's really high for Bobby Miller, but that team might've really needed pitching, might feel more confident in Bobby Miller than necessarily I do because I was burned so bad by Gavin Stone. But I would go like bid maybe $10 to $15 on like the random two-star guy each week versus going that big on Bobby Miller. But for a hitter, for a middle infielder with the pedigree of like an Ellie De La Cruz and a Royce Lewis, they're going to go for a lot. It doesn't even matter the league. I mean, everyone, every league, someone's going to probably bid them at least 25 to 30% of their budget.
Yeah, I would agree. Moving on, Mike Soroka was brought up as the Braves are trying to figure out the back end of the rotation. They have had all their injuries, and then, you know, everybody they brought up to replace those injuries has kind of bombed out, at least in their first attempt. Mike Soroka is being brought up. The velocity was at least back up to where it was, maybe even slightly up pre-injury, and has a couple of solid starts in AAA right before, you know, being called up. He is a two-star guy, or at least he's lined up to be a two-star guy, whether they let him go two starts or not in the same week, I'm not sure. But at Oakland, he's pitching tonight. We're recording this on Monday, and then he's supposed to go Sunday at Arizona. How do you feel about picking up Mike Soroka? You mentioned a cheap two-star guy. Is Mike Soroka on that list, or were you want to see this him pitch before you would take this chance?
I would say with like Soroka, I mean, he's potentially like he should be in the rotation the rest of the year, I'm assuming, assuming he's healthy. I mean, you know, talk like Mike Soroka looks at Royce Lewis and it was like, wow, that guy is in such great health. I mean, Soroka's really had some setbacks, you know? So to say Soroka's going to stay healthy, I mean, you're really, hello, what, you're on a limb. I hope it's sturdy because who knows with Soroka. He may not make it to his second start with the way this guy's Achilles are. this guy's got a worse Achilles than Achilles. But, you know, with all that said, I'm not really a fan of Soroka in general, for fantasy at least. Like, I feel like he had that 2019 Julio Teheran, year. Like, he had that great year in 2019 where he had that, like, you know, what Bryce Elder's doing this year for he had that, like, the one brave starter every year for the last 12 years. And Soroka had that in 2019 where he was really good. But, I mean, he was also, like, a 7.3 K per 9. 2.1 walk rate guy, ERA, he's probably a 4 ERA guy if, you know, with neutral luck. I mean, it's fine. He's not terrible. You said he added velocity, so that's kind of interesting. I don't know. I mean, I hope he succeeds. I've never really been a huge Soroka fan, though. I think, you know, now, Amon Roca? Oh, I love that shit. I'm a fan of Amon Roca, but Mike Soroka, I mean, he feels like a 7.5 K per 9, 3.8 to 4.1 ERA. Like, this is with neutral luck, obviously, but like, it's okay. I mean, it's fine for like deeper leagues where you need someone. I would have actually, I probably would have bid more than my usual two-start pitcher, budget on him in my in a 15-team league. I probably would have went to like $35 out of 1,000. So, you know, maybe $3 to $5 out of 100, like in that range, maybe. I I didn't get him though. I don't have him. I don't even know if he was bit on this week because he hasn't thrown yet. So sometimes the guys don't come into the system until they've appeared. So this could be for next week. Depending on how he looks, maybe I bit on him because, you know, everyone needs innings. So I'm not against grabbing Soroka in deeper leagues, but in shallower leagues, like a 12 team mixed league, like an RCL, he's a streamer to me. I mean, I'm not that interested.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. You know, it was a ERA whip in 2019. So, like, it looked better potentially against what was happening in 2019 because of that. You're right. The K rate's never been all that special. Never really expected that to tick up immensely. I would say back in, like, 2020, I expected him to maybe increase it slightly. Get up to like an 8 K per 9, a 23% K rate, somewhere in that range. But I think you're right. Like 20% would be great to see from him coming off all the injuries. So I think it's a pick up and see. I don't hate the starts this week. So, I mean, where I'm at in some of my leagues, I really wouldn't mind taking two start and just taking the shot on it. But if you're, you know, sitting well and pitching, I'd probably grab him and just go ahead and wait and see how it goes.
Yeah, I don't think neither of us have talked enough about like the fact that everyone should be starting everyone against the A's.
Yes,
like across the board, like the A's are terrible. Like you can start any pitcher against the A's, and you're probably going to do okay.
Yeah, I mean it's a pretty solid game plan right now, as far as just streaming. If there's a pitcher going against the A's, go ahead and just grab them up. It'll be okay. You know, you'll be all right. They've scored sub 200 runs on the season, them, Cleveland, and Detroit. So you see those three teams. In general, I'm not too scared of the matchup. Go ahead and run them out there. Grayson Rodriguez is one, Gray, that, you know, I know you had a lot of shares. I didn't have quite as many, but I definitely had one or two. He had a 7.35 ERA, a 1.72 WHIP over 45 innings. He was getting strikeouts at least, 26.5% K rate. What went wrong here, Gray? I mean, how long is he going? Are you cutting him? Like, is he hurt you enough? Or are you willing to hold him?
What went wrong? How long do you want this podcast to be? My God. Hold on. While you talk about Grayson Rodriguez, I am tying a noose to the ceiling fan. Hold on one second. I mean, I wonder, honestly, now that I think about it, and this is, like I just said, I'm just putting this together in my head right now. So I don't know if this is accurate or not, but Grayson Rodriguez and Gavin Stone both rely heavily on a change. I wonder if there's something to, like, young pitchers relying on a changeup and just overthrowing it because of, you know, excitement and, like, adrenaline of being in the major leagues. I don't know if that's accurate or not. I'm pulling that out of my ass as we speak here. So I don't know, but maybe there's something to that. Like, maybe there's something to, like, you know, top prospects not doing well if they rely heavily on a changeup. I don't know, maybe. But Grayson Rodriguez is awful. I mean, my God, he was terrible. Oh, my God, man. That was such a nightmare. Everything about what Grayson Rodriguez did was awful. It's terrible. It was the worst time of my life. I would say, and also, by the way, he's in a great home park. I mean, it's like Camden Miles, man. It's not Camden Yards. It's Miles because the fences are so far back. I mean, everything was just awful there. So, yeah, I mean, the good news is he can no longer hurt us. He's gone. So, yeah, so that's good.
Yeah, I mean, he can't hurt you for anymore for right now. I mean, it was really like the fastball was getting absolutely destroyed despite being 97 miles an hour. Maybe it's an adjustment just to throw it less. Maybe he needs to just locate it better. Whatever it is, like he has to go figure that out. There could be something to the changeup, although I don't think it was like I don't think the changeup was a necessarily an awful pitch. It wasn't the pitch that it has been for him in the minors. So there could be an adjustment there.
It's hard to like splice out problems when a guy is just bad across the board, because it's like if his fastball's not working, then his change ain't gonna work.
Yeah.
And if his change ain't working, his fastball's not gonna work. So it's like, you know, it's hard to say other than he was just bad. He was
bad. I mean, he gave us hope. He gave us hope and then he just ripped it away.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I was just going through for the roundup. That'll be out already by the time people listen to this. Like, I was going through the starters at like 200 overall. And like the starters at 200 overall in ADP, that is 200 overall in ADP, John Gray, Sandoval, Sonny Gray, Andrew Heaney, Jose Berrios, Hunter Brown, Alex Cobb, Nathan Eovaldi, Merrill Kelly, and Marcus Stroman. I didn't just pick and choose names. That's like from 200 overall to like 260 overall. Like, that's the starters in that range. And they're all like, if you would have picked five guys there, you would have like burgers again. But if you picked five guys there, you would have an ERA of like 3.20. Like, you would be doing so well if you just took five starters there. And, you know, Grayson Rodriguez, I think, I don't know, man. I'm really starting to like, I feel like I might forget this lesson by next year, but I think I'm really going to have to like cool it on the rookie pitchers, because they're killing me, man. Like, they are killing me. Like, everything I say about like weight on pitching is correct, except the rookie pitchers are like really like dangerous. And for the people who are like, oh, Tanner Beebe's been good and Logan Allen's been good, like, yeah. But so many of them have been bad. Like, you can't just say Tanner Beebe's been good. Like, so that's a good, like, that's a point in rookie pitcher's favor. Like, that's just one guy versus like Brandon Pfaadt, Grayson Rodriguez, Gavin Stone. I mean, it's just like one guy, Dre Jamison. I don't know if people remember, but everyone wanted Dre Jamison in the first week of the season. Like, you know, all these guys, it's just like nonstop. Taj Bradley's been good, but to a certain extent, he's been replaceable by like a Marcus Stroman or Sonny Gray or Andrew Heaney. Or, you know, I mean, Taj Bradley's been good, but do you trust that? I don't know, man. I don't know. Anyway, that was a sidetrack.
that was Gray venting about Grayson Rodriguez. You know, I know you had a fair amount of shares.
Oh, I have. So I had him literally everywhere. I'll own that L. Like, I had Grayson Rodriguez in so many leagues, but like, you know, that doesn't mean, you know, not going for, like, you know, it wouldn't have helped me if I would have drafted Jacob DeGrom, Aaron Nola, Brandon Woodruff, Justin Verlander, Max Scherzer, Sandy Alcantara. Like, there's a ton of pitchers that weren't good in the top 10 starters, too. So it's like Grayson Rodriguez might have been ultra bad, but it's not like Verlander's helping people.
Yeah, no, that's completely fair. And, like, Grayson was, like, he was It was really painful owning him, because like, you got the two starts against Detroit that were good. He blew up against the Royals, of all people, after the Detroit games. You're like, ah, oh, crap. Sit him. He has a good game against Tampa. Angels, you probably sat him there, so thank goodness you didn't take that hit, hopefully. At Toronto, you probably sat him for a five-inning, two-earned, 6K, and then Texas absolutely destroyed him. So it was full roller coaster. Like, it was either like five innings, two-earned with good K numbers, or it was just absolutely shelled.
And he's going to be, and at some point he is going to be amazing. I mean, he's still going to be really good. So, I mean, at some point we're going to look back at this and be like, hey, there's the Grayson Rodriguez that everyone expected. And it may not be this year. It may be next year, but at some point he will be great. But yeah, you're not. Don't hold on to him to find out. It's not worth it, man.
Yeah, you can pick him back up when he comes back. When he comes back, of course, you know. Then you'll miss out on him, Fab, and then he'll be awesome. That's how that will just ultimately work. Owen Miller for the Brewers has pretty much taken over third base for them, Gray. He started all but two games in May, and one of those games he got in to pinch hit. 124 plate appearances. He has 4 home runs, 6 stolen bases, 18-13. He's hitting .330, .371, .513. So Owen Miller's made it pretty easy on the Brewers just to slot him in there since he got the call up. Are you buying this? Is this just a, you know, enjoy the hot streak moment? You know, are we sex panthering here?
You know, I'm kind of wondering, like, because Luis Urias, I believe, is due back soon. So I'm kind of wondering how this is going to play out, because Owen Miller has been great. Like, you know, to answer your first question, I tend to, like, I believe, like, what Owen Miller is doing when it comes to, like, you know, like, his power and his speed are not, like, great. I mean, they're not insanely good. Like, he's probably a 15 to 17 homer, 12 to 15 steal. I mean, he doesn't really have the insane speed that, you know, he's got 6 steals in a month-ish. That is kind of surprising, because he's not really that big of a steals guy, or a speed guy at least. Mm-hmm. But he makes incredible contact. Like, I do believe, like, the K rate right now is under, it's like around 15%. I believe that. I think he is, like, a good contact guy, which means he could hit for a good average. And I think he makes more sense in the Brewers, because the Brewers really struggle to make contact. They have for a bunch of years now. So I think Owen Miller kind of makes sense in that lineup. So that means, like, Brian Anderson or Luis Urias, like, something, like, someone's going to have to get platooned or go to the bench. I don't know. I don't know how this plays out, to be honest. I don't know. Like, I think, like, Bryce Terang has been serviceable. I think he's going to be – I think he's got his job more or less, like, maybe as a platoon guy. But still, I don't think he's necessarily getting, you know, sent down. I don't know, maybe. I mean, he's hitting, like, under .220. So, you know, potentially, I guess, that could happen. But at some point, Urias is going to return, and – I think Urias plays, and I think Owen Miller plays. So what happens? So Brian Anderson doesn't play or goes to DH, and, like, I don't know. I don't know. Honestly, I have no idea how it plays out. But Owen Miller, I believe what he's doing is for real when it comes to, like, his contact rate, which is important, I think, to the Brewers. So if he's hitting, you know, .285 or better, even if it's with, like, you know, 15 homers and 12 steals, that has value. I think Owen Miller is a guy who I would grab in most leagues. And in a 10-team mixed league, you know, there's so many guys available. So that becomes a little bit too shallow, I think, for Owen Miller. But 12-team, like a RCL, I could see Owen Miller getting grabbed. I could see him being on teams.
Yeah, I mean, third base still hasn't been special this year, so you could definitely be still kind of filling in that third base position, or, you know, you've been maybe streaming and jumping from guy to guy. You know, maybe you started with, like, a J.D. Davis or a Paredes, and jumping around from Wisdom to Walls or whatever you've been doing. And Owen Miller can be one of those guys that you plug in there and enjoy it. I think you're right. The power speed isn't necessarily – I don't necessarily expect him to steal 6 stolen bases month after month, 4 home runs. Even that feels maybe on the high end of what he's going to do, but it is a great ballpark, so maybe he can kind of keep that up with the park and it just hitting. If he continues to hit at the top of the order and get that many plate appearances, you know, that always helps create the opportunity to do that as well. So I think he kind of fits in that back end streaming corner infield area for 12 teamers and maybe an option for a deeper 10 teamer, probably owning everything else, I would guess.
Yeah.
Alex Fajardo has been good as well. Last outing versus the White Sox, He had 6 innings, 10 Ks, no walks, 2 earned. He has 21 and two-thirds innings. He has a 4.15 ERA, 0.74 whip, 26.8 K rate, 1.2% walk rate. He's a fastball slider changeup guy here, Gray. Do you like you some Faedo?
I do. Actually, he was a guy who I did bid on in Fab, and I think I grabbed him in a few leagues. You know, like I've said many times before, when a guy has great command, like Faedo has one walk in just under 22 innings, and his command, he's got 60 grade command. I think he's probably, like at worst, I want to say he's not going to kill you. As I say that, I mean, I feel like he's going to kill you. But at worst, he feels like he won't hurt you too bad because of the command. Like, you know, if he gives up like a bunch of solo homers, then it's like, you know, he's got to give up a lot of solo homers to really kill you. Like, you know, 4 solo homers in a game, it's still only 4 earned runs if no one's on base. So I like him. I think he's probably a little bit too much for like a 12 team, like an RCL, like a 12 team mixed league still feels a little too shallow for Alex Faedo, but like deeper than that, I'm in. And streaming, you could stream him in like a 12 team mixed league. That I'm fine with. But like a 15 team mixed league is where I drafted him. Is where I picked him up for Fab. And I grabbed him for $16 out of $1,000. So, you know, a little bit less than $2 in a $100 Fab league. So, I mean, and that's a 15 team mixed league. So no one was, and the second bid was $11. So, you know, one other person, or at least one other person bid $11. So, yeah, I mean, you know, some people were looking at him. So obviously, it wasn't just me. But, yeah, I'm kind of interested. I don't know. We'll see what happens. It's still kind of like we may get here next week and I may be like, oh, I dropped him. Yeah, he's terrible. But, I mean, for right now, I'm trying to lick my Grayson Rodriguez wounds. So I'm trying to figure out what's going to like carry me on as I drop Grayson Rodriguez. So it's like, you know, I'm looking for guys. And Faedo was a guy I was like, yeah, I mean, good command. Hopefully he does it right. And Detroit is a good park for pitching usually. So, yeah, I grabbed him.
Yeah, are you starting him this week going against Texas at home?
Yeah.
The bouncy balls of the Rangers?
Oh, yeah. I am starting this week. Even though the Rangers are going to put up a 12 spot against them. But, yeah, I am.
Yeah, Rangers surprisingly second in runs, I mean, in the league. So it's an offense that's been putting up runs this year. Although not home runs. Like, they don't have a lot of home runs. They've been scoring.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I know. I'm nervous about it, but I am starting him. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just don't start anybody against the Rays. That's pretty much the life lesson that we've learned.
Except for Marcus Stroman, apparently.
Who knows? You know, Stroman, who can explain what happens in Chicago? Yeah. Nolan Jones was called up. Michael Toglia was sent down. CJ Krohn is on the IL. 39 games at AAA. Nolan Jones has 12 home runs, 5 stolen bases, sitting 356, 481, 711. I mean, it's looked good this year. It's not a guy that had a whole lot of, like, prospect pedigree. He's a top 10 prospect for the Rockies, but, you know, the Rockies hate their prospects, so that's really here nor there. But he's put together a really strong first 40 games here. And AAA, are you interested in Nolan Jones with the vacancies in Colorado right now?
You know, speaking of the Rockies, I couldn't believe how bad, like, Chris Bryant this year is actually playing, and he's still awful. Oh, my God, he's so bad. Oh, God. I was like, I didn't realize how bad Chris Bryant was doing. Like, he looks terrible. Nolan Jones, you know, I mean, I'm kind of – like on the fence here because I feel like the Bud Black doesn't want to play rookies, and you know he was called up, like Brenton Doyle was like banged up, and he's now Brenton Doyle is in the lineup today, So maybe Nolan Jones is up and will play, but I don't know, man. I've been down this road before, Rockies guys. I mean, Nolan Jones absolutely should play. Don't get me wrong. Like, he's 25 years old. There's literally no reason why Nolan Jones and Brenton Doyle are both 25. They're both 25. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they should obviously be playing, but, I mean, they have, like, you know, the Rockies have Jerickson Profar hitting leadoff. Like, he's on a one-year deal. Why would he be hitting? Like, are they just trying to build up his value so another team signs him? Like, and the Rockies absolutely will not trade him. They could be in last place, and people could be asking for Jerickson Profar in July, and the Rockies will be like, no, we need him. Rockies are awful, man. They're so bad. They're the worst team. Anyway, with that said, I like Nolan Jones, but I don't think he's going to play, to be honest with you. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see. You know, it's important to get Mike Moustakas as many at-bats as possible.
Well, so. C.J. Cron probably is back soon, too. Like, I mean, C.J. Cron returns. Where's Nolan Jones? I mean, if I – like, this – like, don't – put this on me. I'm not saying this is how I would play it, but the Rockies are absolutely not going to play Nolan Jones once CJ Cron comes back, and I think he's due back any day. Like, it's just not going to happen. Anyway, I mean, you know, you can play Nolan Jones for a little bit to see what happens.
Yeah, I think something happened with CJ Cron where he like got hit while he was practicing or something, like in the batting cage, like he got beamed in the batting cage.
He didn't pray hard enough for the Rockies.
But yes, I'm pretty much with you on Nolan Jones. It's kind of a temporary streamer. I do have some, like, I think Chris Bryant, if he stays healthy, will turn it around a little bit. He's hitting 270 with five home runs, but he has like a sub 280 BABIP at home, which is almost impossible in Colorado, so I do feel like there's still a little bit of hope with Chris Bryant, but it is sad to see him, you know, as a Cubs fan. Like, he was once a 39 home run, 292 MVP. Like, that's far cry from where he's at now.
Oh no, absolutely. How is this is like, it's like, are you guys recording a podcast or are you just having a chat? How's his ground balls? Do you have him in front of you? Because if he's slowed because of the plantar fasciitis, and then if his ground balls are up, I don't have it in front of me.
34.5% is, which is pretty much in line with what he's always done. He's a 35%er for his career. So
yeah, no, that's not bad. His line drives look okay.
Line drives are 27%. Again, actually, that's high for his career.
Yeah, maybe he's a buy low, actually. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he should be better. I was surprised at how poorly he was doing. So, yeah, I mean, you know, maybe we just stumbled on a buy low with Chris Bryant.
Yeah, until he spikes himself next week and goes on the IL.
Until he accidentally steps on his own foot. Oh, man, that's smart. I need a 60-day IL.
All right, Gray, let's move on to some bullpen talk here. Pete Fairbanks is going to the IL with hip inflammation. It doesn't sound like they know really exactly how long this is going to take right now. It doesn't sound like it's hopefully overly serious. But for right now, Jason Adam, you think he slides in as the guy, or is this beware, it's the Rays still?
Yeah, no, I think it's like Jason Adam for like 90% of the time, and then like 12 relievers for 10% of the time. It's probably how Kevin Cash will work it out. It'll be like Jason Adam most times, but you'll never know who's backing him up. It'll be like you know how some teams it's like, oh, if Class A can't go. For a reason, then you know, like, Karinchak comes in. Well, I think this is like Jason Adam and everyone else. It's like it could be like Colin Pache some days. Like, it could be all kinds of guys. So I do think Jason Adam, though, will have 90% of the save opportunities.
Random Yanni Chirino save just for the best of everybody.
Yeah, it'll be like random guy. Yeah, I think so.
All right, I'm with you. Jason Adam is the ad, but he's been added in every league already. If not, go ahead and grab him up. Ryan Helsley had a blown save. He's been a little bit shaky, but like, if, again, for the most part, he's been solid. Do you think there's any potential here that he maybe loses his job to Gallegos, who was the closer to start last year and has looked good this year? Or are you still rolling with Helsley and think that he has it?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's probably Helsley, but, you know, to give you an idea, in one league, I actually, this is a weekly league now, so, you know, take this with a grain of salt. In a weekly league, I benched Helsley this week because I think the Cardinals have like five games and, you know, Helsley's been iffy. So, you know, I don't think Helsley, if we were to redraft right now, I don't think Helsley would go anywhere near where he was being drafted. And I only got him because it was an auction and no one else bid. And, you know, everyone else was smarter than me. I wish I didn't bid. But yeah, I think it's Helsley more or less, probably 80-20, for saves, but Helsley is the first guy, I believe.
Yeah. I still think it's him. He's sitting at a 3.52 ERA right now. That's a little bit, I feel like that's a little bit high for like how good he's been. It's been a couple of outings here or there where he's allowed a couple of runs, but as closers go, you know, they can lose their job because of one bad outing. Keep an eye on it. I do think Gallegos is an ad if you're in a league that is chasing saves frantically. So pretty much if you're in a deeper 12 team league or deeper, I think that you're potentially adding Gallegos. Because, again, his numbers have been solid. So even if he's not getting consistent saves, you're getting good numbers, strikeouts from him every time he's out there.
Yeah.
David Robertson has allowed runs in three of his last five appearances. However, nobody else for the Mets has really stepped up in the role. Do you think that there's a potential change here as we're looking at the Mets closer situation?
No, I don't think so. I think... it's Robertson, except for like when it's Altuvino occasionally. I mean, it's Robertson's job, I think, at least for now. You know, like you said with Helsley, I mean, you know, maybe a bad outing or two this week and it may not be Robertson anymore. But as of right this second, I still think it's Robertson.
Yeah, if you're picking up somebody to back him up, it sounds like you're going Altuvino over Raley.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd go Altuvino.
Yeah, I think so. It seems like that's the role that they would move him into if they were looking at it, although Raley has slightly better numbers. For the season, I still feel like they would put Altuvino in that role next and let him see if he could put it together. Let's move on to some pickups, Gray, and we'll get out of here.
Okay. I think the, you know, the, whatchamacallit, Willie Castro has been really good, but I don't know if he has a place to play. So I could see like Willie Castro in maybe a 15 team mixed league or deeper. He's been like solid for probably a good month now, but with Max Kepler coming back, his playing time gets a little bit iffy. Brian De La Cruz, another, hey, if you get Ellie, you need Brian, right? You got to have the pair. So Brian De La Cruz has been hot for, you know, going back a couple weeks now. He's been good recently. I would grab him. I think he's probably, at worst, he's like a good average hitter. Not really a ton of power and speed. But, you know, if he's hot, he's hot. That doesn't really matter either way. J.P. Crawford has been hot recently. I think Nolan Jones, as we mentioned earlier, is a guy I would add for like right now just to see what's going on with the Rockies. But as I mentioned when we went over Nolan Jones, you never know. I think it's probably going to be CJ Cron if he comes back. And then Gio or Urshela has been hot as well. So, yeah, there's a few names.
Yeah, and at pitching, if you're looking for guys to throw out there, Michael Lorenzen is at the White Sox. Jared Schuster's at Oakland. As we mentioned, if anybody's at Oakland, you just throw them. Dane Dunning was on paternity leave, but he's coming back, and he's going at Detroit. Again, another team that you can just throw against. A couple of Baltimore pitchers and Dean Kramer and Kyle Bradish, I think you can go with them at San Francisco. And Kyle Gibson's been good if he hasn't been picked up in your league versus Cleveland this week. another team that you can feel very confident streaming against. The Guardians have been just absolutely dreadful across the board. I mean, every single offensive player for them has just been horrible. They have the opposite of the Rangers balls. Like, they've been stuck with the 2022 ball, and they're using the rest of the stock. They just said they would eat it for the rest of the league this year.
So there you go, folks.
There you go. There's some just inside information into nothingness. So thanks for listening. If you got this far, follow us on Twitter. I'm at RazBeaton. Gray is, of course, the owner of the at RazBall account. Listen, subscribe, follow everywhere that you listen to podcasts. We're on RazBall.com or YouTube.com/RazBallFantasy if you want to watch Gray and I, you know, discuss these things back and forth and see our ridiculous faces as we make these comments up out of thin air. And other than that, Gray, I'll talk to you next week.
All right, ladies.